that terrible. And all of you. Number two, part D, I believe. Who did that one? We pick up where we left off there. Anybody remember? He went up outside to the field and saw his brothers there and found them near the river. Did anybody remember who did it?
Did you?
Okay.
Very possible.
Okay. Tony, you know what that means. Since Jim's not here.
Yeah,
really. Yeah, number three, you have not observed the treaty which you made with us.
Okay, now that's kind of between us.
I didn't mean to say Dane, I meant to say Dane.
Oh, I see. Okay. And this, you want to use him, Imanu would probably be the best form here. Or, I suppose you could use F too. Use Itanu. Yeah, Itanu or Imanu. Now, you left out though the covenant, but it was a treaty. Just use the word for covenant, Barid. So, Milo Shamarta F Habarid. See, we did not keep the treaty. You have not observed the treaty, the covenant. And then Asher, I can add. And then, did you have Karat? Is that the verb you want to use? Asa, didn't you? Okay, remember there's an idiom for we're a covenant.
Well, I was wondering if that really applied in the case of this with the treaty.
Yeah, that's what they, a treaty and a covenant. The treaty is a covenant between people, and the way they thought of it, that's what it was. And they were cutting covenant. So that's the expression you'll see all the time in the scripture on that. So Lo Shamarta Et Habarit Asher Karata, and Karata because of why is Karata instead of Karata?
Merging two.
Yeah, you've got two Taos merging there. Because there was a Tau at the end of Karat, and there's a Tau in the suffix, so you get the Tagish Forte there. So Karata Imanu. Yes.
I use Tishmar.
Oh, you use the imperfect?
Because the idea of habitual, you have habitually not observed.
I see. Well, yeah, if you perceive it that way, I don't see anything wrong with that. If you do, go ahead and use the perfect for the Asher clause, though. Did you go back to the perfect for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I use Atita.
Okay, right.
Now, would you... you just do that, or do you need to put before Asita?
No, it's not a series. It's just an Asher clause. That's something we're going to point to a little bit later on, but when you see an Asher, that breaks up the series, too. I mean, or that's not part of it. You're not going to continue a series there with Asher clauses. So that's going to be one of the ways to break a series later on.
I just thought that sometimes it was necessary to convert it. So it doesn't have any meaning.
No. See, that what's following the Asher clause is all dependent upon a particular word within the whole sentence structure. So it's kind of a parenthesis to the whole sequence. And think of it that way, then I think it should help you.
Could you use the ta as a sort of an emphasis?
No, ta. You use the pronoun, you have not observed, sure. That's a little bit more emphatic.
Sure.
And you went ahead and used
it before.
No, I don't see any problem with it, especially it seems to be very directed and very convicting. So it's certainly not inappropriate to use that concept. So would you have low shamarta? Okay. Probably would have low shamarta atah, though, just because low tends to want to stay right close to it, right next to its verb form. Or you could have said atah lo shamarta. You not observed. Okay, any other questions? Observation to that? Number four, then. Yes. Sir.
Why is the share used instead of key?
Oh, key. Okay. If you wanted to say. Well, it essentially involves the fact that the whole clause is attributed to the word treaty, the covenant which. I'm trying to think of an example that's quite parallel to this, but it's got a different structure here. You have not observed that which, well, that would still be. You almost have to give a different verb here. Let's say you did not know that I slew the prophet or something. Okay, there you have, you did not know, and the whole clause is functioning as a direct object. And when a whole clause is functioning as a direct object like that, as one of the main elements of the sentence, then you're going to see key. But when you see a share, it's usually where the clause is functioning either adjectively, adverbially, to some other word that's already there. It's kind of being taken, you know, attached to some word that's already there. But standing all by itself as a functioning element of the word in the sentence, then you're going to see the key. So, big fun. I'll have to develop a system for diagramming Hebrew. I don't know if any books that do that. They do it for Greek. But that would maybe help. And when we get to the clauses, I'll have to think about that in a second here. So we'll try to diagram some of those. But I think it might help illustrate what's happening. Because it's a hard thing to really get the feel for. It takes a bit of experience with it. I understand that we don't fully have the. And, you know, he's just kind of given short descriptions of the vocabularies, too. We haven't really seen a lot of treatment of it. See, the reason is we're saving clause relationships till later. And there'll be whole things about key clauses and the way key is used and all, you know, breaking it down and so forth. But it does take some time and effort, so mostly for them. In the meantime, I'll just tell you when, you know, you should have used key, okay? Or you should have. All right.
Another question, Mark. I'm kind of already on that. We're going to have to do that
tau. On karata?
Yeah.
Okay. The verb is karat, ends in a tau. And the suffix is tau kamas. So you would have had two taus in a row, in other words. And when a verb ends in tau like that, in the perfect, you get, instead of writing two taus, they just put a doubling of one. So they just put tau dagesh. And that's going to, of course, change the pronunciation from a hard to, from a soft to a hard. So it's not karata, but it's karata. Okay. Or it's not even karata, which you probably would expect, maybe.
I'm confused about is,
this is perfect form. This is a regular old perfect form.
Okay, so I'm confused about is, didn't that form normally have a shalada or something?
Yes, it would have on that, right. Say with kasavta, you would have a shawa on the base. And you would have had a shawa on the tau, karapta. Yeah, the shawa goes away because the tau that it was stuck to is gone. You know, and it gets assimilated, so. Yeah. And that's why those forms look, they look too short, too. You know, it's got the right ending on it, but it looks too short.
Yeah,
that's what they do. It doesn't look right. Sure. I think they gave Karachi, they gave it a first-person singular form or something in the paradigm or something. I remember back there, they make mention of that. Maybe that was all the way back to Thomas Stelling. Somewhere they were discussing.
Yeah,
right at the end of that section on the perfect, and they were mentioning what happens with these words. Okay. Number four, then. We are fasting that God may hear our words and give the literary sequence with here and give us the
Lewis. Anachnu Zamim Le Aman.
Right.
No. Le Ma'an.
Le Ma'an, right. Le Ma'an. Le Ma'an. In order that, right.
Yishma Elohim et Bevarenu. Venasan lanu Yeshua me oyedenu.
Okay, good. Well, it's just from the enemy, so
from the enemy.
Yeah, just we made Aoye. Yeah, you don't need the enemy there, it's just the enemy. Okay, good. So anasnu amin. So you're using participle here, we are fasting, get that progressive aspect. So anasnu amin, or kamin, excuse me, samin. Look good, I am sitting beside it. Yeah, anasnu samin, we are fasting. And then that, and this is in the sense of in order that, is the idea of purpose. So we had a lama'an for purpose there. So it wouldn't be key in this, it's either. It'd be lama'an, in order that. And then you use the imperfect with that. See, and it's getting almost a subjective idea because it's in English, you've got the word may there, so God may hear, and that's a subjunctive idea. In Greek, you would have a subjunctive verb in this. So lema'an, and then you're going to use the perfect, yishma Elohim es divarenu v'nathan. Now you're continuing, so you started with a perfect, and now you're going to continue that series. So you started with an imperfect, and now you're going to continue the series with perfects. So v'nathan, or your perfect form, but it's getting in that same imperfect sense and a modal sense here in this sense, because it's an objective idea. V'nathan lanu yeshua me ha'oyev or min ha'oyev. Any questions?
I started with the perfect and went to the imperfect.
On that right after lema'an, started with a perfect and went to imperfect.
Lema'an.
Yes. In other words, I'm trying to say, did you start from the very first word in the sentence with a perfect form? Instead of using participle for we're fasting, or
I used the participle.
Okay, use participle there. So, are you saying that the verb to hear?
Yeah, shamar.
Okay,
yeah.
You had shamar.
Perfect.
Okay.
And then I had why yin. Yeah, I wasn't sure exactly the yin ton or.
And then you went to it. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's part of the problem. We haven't had one nun imperfect yet. Or did he make any mention of them? I don't think so. Because they're going to do some funny things. So, that's one of the reasons we didn't expect you to put a perfect imperfect on that. Anyway, and the real reason, though, is that when you've got lema'an, you've got purpose being expressed. And purpose isn't going to be in the past tense. In other words, shamar. See, what you had is, we are fasting in order that God did hear our words. You know, and you don't do something now in order that somebody might do something in the past.
Yeah.
So that's why they say plus imperfect. You know, it's just used in different.
Can I hear it again? Then I'll cross out all the wrong words.
Anachnu samin lema'an. Yishma Elohim et Divarenu Winathan Lanu Yeshua Meha Oye Meha Oye Olomu or Minha Oye.
It might
give us a deliverance from the enemy. Yeah, right.
Yes,
it does in a way. Sure, yeah. The deliverance, or you know, give us deliverance from the enemy. We can be a little bit ambiguous with it in English, but put no article at all. Just give us deliverance from the enemy. That might be a pretty good way to translate. Was there something there, John?
No, I figured it out. Why?
Okay.
It wasn't Yishmor.
Oh, right.
Yishma.
Yeah, it's the Pasuk had your perfect right. Message. Any other questions? Okay, number five.
This is part of scriptural fasting, but
right.
That is also giving an idea. Well, I was thinking in terms of habitual.
Okay. Okay, let me put it in perfect.
Yeah.
Now, the part of the problem again is we haven't had two consonant, two biconsonantal imperfects yet. So part of you have to guess with it. Well, I don't know how to form those yet, so you must not be asking for that.
Would that be right? Or is it just something really weird?
No, it doesn't do something too weird. I don't understand. They usually kick a different vowel in there. Let's double check that one. I'm not real confident with those ones. So, see, it depends on whether it's got it's a hollow with a yod or a wow. I think this one is tum, not fadi.
Well, they use that when they use the imperfect here to give a little different flavor to a part of the idea. In other words, habitual fasting kind of thing.
Yeah, see, when it says we are fasting, that may not be habitual, that may just be progressive. Yeah,
we might translate, we have been at our fasting.
Yeah, we have been up to this point, and we're continuing to fast, and it's kind of continual. A habitual thing may not be, it may not be that it's going on continuously, but it's going on periodically, the same thing. And so if you want to express that, you probably use imperfect. Yeah. If you want to express a continuous flow of action. Did you say anything about the other psalm back there to see what's
Zoom.
Zoom, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought it might be.
Sure.
Yeah. See, that was a hollow verb. See, some of these guys are hollow verbs with yod in the middle, some are hollow verbs with wow in the middle, some are not hollow verbs at all, but they have something else lopped off them. And until you know what category the verb is in, it's hard to predict what the imperfect will do. That's why I was reluctant there. But yeah, yatsum. And so you get the shurek in there, and that's the resurrection of the old hollow, you know, wow in the middle. That's been yanked out in the other forms.
Mm-hmm.
See, remember when we talked about those hollow verbs in the perfect, and there was a statement that there was, I think it was a statement in the text to some effect that there was a wow or yod in the earlier form, but in the perfect we never had to worry about it. In the imperfect we will have to worry about it. Imperfect imperative in those forms. We get to get into imperatives too, maybe today we'll get through that. Okay. Well, any other questions on that? Number four. Okay, number five, last one here. He will capture the nations with a strong hand, and the wise men of the earth will come in. Will come in order to hear his words. Right?
Yehor et ha'atzo im yam hasaka uba amashe. Haperet le ama le maa yishma divarecha divarecha no divarav.
Okay, some things here. First, Yochoz F. Now you want? I think you had. I thought you said arts or something there.
Nations,
yeah. Probably want Am for those, the nations.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, the Arts would be land. You know, they kind of get some parallels too, but normally they, for nations, they'll use Am.
Amin,
yes. Yes, Amin. Because of nations plural, each nation is a collective group, each people, you know. But now we've got a plural of those. So, Yochoz et Amin. And then with a strong hand, the yad chazaka.
So it would be in a strong hand.
Yeah, in a strong hand. Yeah, instrumental. In a strong hand. Because it's not together with a strong hand. You don't want to use M or F there because that would give a different picture. That would be together with a strong hand, and you'd be kind of picturing this disjointed hand, you know, floating around. Together with a different picture. Okay, so, yeah. And you see, the trouble is, in English, we use with for just about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, when in doubt, use with. That's kind of the way it's in English. And I don't know if it is in German, is mit, in German, is commonly used as with in English.
Quite, probably.
Yeah. But if you wanted to express agency, like this, suppose in German you wanted to say he did something with a strong hand or something, would you use it?
Yeah.
It would be? Okay. So, then they have the same problem we do there. All right. So, Beyaz. Chazaka, and Yad is feminine, so they get the feminine form on the adjective. The Yad Chazaka, you don't need an article with a strong hand. And then, let's see, and the wise men of the earth will come. Okay, will come Uva'u, you want plural form there. Uva'u, Kak Me. Plural form for wise men, or you could have said, did you put an end to just
Anashin
Shehakam? Yeah, but the wise men of the earth, though, yeah, you could have just said Hakme and then put, no, yes, you could put Anshe Haaretz and then Hakamim after that.
You could put that one after that?
Mm-hmm. Remember, in the construct, you can't put the adjective between the, because you've got a construct relationship here, so the adjective is going to have to come afterwards, and then you have to kind of trust either your number or gender to tell you which one of the binders you'll
show you.
Right.
Yeah. Was Wuhak Ne Ha'aretz wrong?
No, that's what I had. Just Ha'aretz Ne Ha'aretz. Yeah, because what normally they're just, they try to streamline it as much as possible, and wise men don't just use Ha'am as a noun. And so Hakme Ha'aretz would probably be the perfect form. So Uva'u Hakme Ha'aretz Lema'an, again, is that in order to Lema'an, and here in the English they're translating in order to, here is words, they're translating with an infinitive. But you pretty much, now there will, we will get to infinitives later on, and you can use those too, but we don't have those yet, so we have to use an imperfect here. So we, in effect we're saying, in order that he might hear his words. And so that he might hear would be an imperfect form again, and getting a subjective type of an idea. So yishma'u, so lema'an yishma'u et divarau. Et divarau. That's a pretty good, it's a pretty complicated sentence though, when you stop thinking about it, you know, you able to do at this point in the beginning. Yeah.
Could you give the spelling of Chachmei?
Okay, Chachmei, I have Chet with Pathak, Kaf with Shua, Mem with Dariol. Okay. I think we gave you Chachmei for the plural.
Did you have
Anshe? Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you had Anshe, then you would have Anshe Ha'aretz Chachmin. Chachmin. Chachmin.
Wouldn't take the construct.
No, the adjective won't take the construct form. It'll just take the normal plural form.
Normal
plural form. Right.
When is it?
Chachmin. I think it started out that way, did it? Yeah, it's in construct. Did it start out comment, comment?
At the beginning it's comment, comment, but then when you build
in the plural, you've got to go to the plural first.
And then you reduce the second also.
Right.
And then
right, yeah, so you got rule of schwa. Yeah, so what happens is you start out with ha-kam, with comment, comment, and you put it in plural, it becomes. Pathak, you know, other than that first one, Chachamim, and then in the construct, you that comment would reduce to Shua in the construct, because it's a unstressed comment. And but reducing that to Shua forces the first one by Rule Shua to Pathak. So,
okay.
A lot of juggling, but we finally got there.
I changed that. Pathak.
Oh, okay.
And went the other direction.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions?
In the first form, we use minimum construct.
Oh, Anshe?
Yeah,
Anshe. Okay, I don't remember the spelling on that. I don't have it written down here. Is that
Kamathak?
Kamathak, Pathak, and Anshe.
Shua.
And Shua, okay. And then very old.
Now,
is it
adjective?
Yes, let's see.
The wise man.
Yeah, it is the wise man. So, yeah, you would have Ha-Chacham. Ha-Chachamim. Okay.
Wouldn't it be Ha? Because of
it. Yeah, Ha. It would be Ha. Because I remember that Ha-Chacham. Yeah, Ha-Chachamim. So, Ha-Chachamim. Okay. Gotta try to imagine all the things that are written down here. All right. Everybody satisfied now? Okay. Good.
Easiest part.
Yeah, not the easy part. See, it's really good though that the easiest part is the thing we're gonna have to be doing in the future. What we're studying all this for is to do this stuff. And that's always the easiest part. Okay. Especially when you get got footnotes for all the things you won't know what to do. Unfortunately, real text doesn't have footnotes. All right, reading Abraham in Egypt, and let's see. Right, go ahead and start with the first verse.
Yarad Avraham Yishraimah Ki Kaveh
Yeah, go ahead and stop there. That's good.
Abraham went down to Egypt because the famine in the land was serious.
Right. The famine in the land was serious or severe or heavy. Heavy. Sore. There was a sore famine in the land. Yeah. Okay. Bob?
Amar. Amar. Abraham. Lissara. Sher. Badu. Raima.
Okay.
Abraham said to Sarah when they came toward Egypt.
Okay. And that's just what she said. So. Yeah, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. I know that a woman beautiful in appearance you are.
Okay.
A woman beautiful in appearance you are. So that construct phrase is functioning like an adjective too for a woman. Interesting construction.
Yeah.
That's why you had to put footnote out because you have to be. And then the odd is just you are. And it's over form. All over form. Okay, questions anyone? All right, then starting with the next. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Starting with your ooh there. Who's next? Peter. Okay.
Your ooh. Isaac.
Okay, it'll be Opa.
Opa. Hamid. Mitrin. Was Amaru Eshet Ha Ish Hahu Zoth Wilharagu Ofi Wilak Lak Kahu Osak.
Right.
I know that. Oh, let me think. Where did I start? Okay. The Egyptians will see you, and they'll say, "This is the wife of that man," but they will kill. Should I keep going? I don't know where.
Oh yeah.
I didn't follow what I
heard. Yeah.
But they will kill me and take you.
Yes. Okay. The Egyptians will see you, and they will say, "This is the wife of that man," and they will slay me, or, and they will slay me, and they will take you. Okay.
Yeah, three, starting with Aseth, the Zoth. I jiggle that thing around, and I never picked it.
Okay. Now, they will say, Aseth, Ha'ish, Ha'hu, Zoth. So, Aseth is feminine there, and Zolt is going to have to go with that. So, because Ha'ish Ha'hu, it's kind of a double construction here, you've got demonstratives on both.
Yes, it's true, yeah.
No, yeah.
I was trying to find the Zolt on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's hard to do.
Didn't work.
Yeah. So, demonstrative on demonstrative.
And they will say,
"This is the wife of that man." The wife of that man, this is. Literally. Wife of that man. See, wife is in construct. The wife of that man.
Well, why is Zoe standing without the
argument? Well, it's the predicate position. This is. And it has to stand way out there just because the Aishas is in construct, so you can't get the thing in between where you could normally could be.
Could you say they will say, "Wife of that man is she?"
Wife of that man. she is the wife of that man. Yeah, I think that'd be all
right. I think
the feminine form of this, and this one, and of course, yeah, they give you, well, see, you probably have he there if it was just going to be she alone, but you should try to get the construct, I mean, the demonstrative idea there, perhaps, in this form. But that's kind of the idea. See, they're confronting her, and she said, this is the wife of that man. That's kind of the idea. This woman, this is feminine, so this woman is wife of that man.
And I think so before the construct?
Yes, you could. If you play, you know, Zolt, Eshet, so forth, this, you could. That'd be easier for you, yeah. And it would be,
yeah.
It'd be more emphatic on the this, too. It kind of depends on what their stress is. It sounds like the fact that what Zolt last is the stress is on the wife of this man, the wife of that man, this is. The wife of that man. And see, the point is, he's afraid they're going to point him out and kill him, you know. So the emphasis is more on the wife of that man, this is, and we're going to take care of that man, you see. Whereas if you start out with this, this is the wife of that man. It's a little bit different emphasis. About all you see there. Meaning basically.
We're getting pretty close to the text now.
Yes, this may actually be text now. It's got enough footnotes that you check. It's not exactly. It's close. It's getting very close, let's put it that way. The more footnotes you've got, the closer we are to the text.
And I should keep telling us what chapters and verses.
Later on it will be. There'll be the numbers. They'll actually play the numbers. Let's see how
that's why he's not doing it.
Well, yeah, that's probably it. Maybe it'll be a little while.
Yeah,
page 225, the Ten Commandments, actually is 21 to 14, and then the first is the number. So we have it, lesson 45. Okay.
40, I think.
40? 42,
I think.
Yeah, 40's got it.
39 doesn't.
Okay.
Psalm
121, 39. So starting at chapter 40, we're going to get the real thing.
Yeah, there's Psalm. All it basically was.
But most of this is going to be slightly, just slightly changed.
All they did was
just omitted the part.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we do have narrative sequence now, and that's one of the major elements that we were missing before. Okay. Then, first we leave off with. Okay. Third line there, starting with the Emory. What's up next?
Emory. Akoti. Lama.
Yitav.
Yitav?
I just know Yitav. The second yod is in the modern.
Yod.
Yeah, okay.
Yitav. Li. Ba'avu. Ba'avu. Ba'avu rek.
Yeah, Ba'avu rek. Ba'avu rek. Okay?
Say that you are my sister so that it will go well for me.
Okay. And then the last thing is for your sake or because of you.
That's where they were getting this for me.
Oh, no. Yeah, they got that from, they got that from the Yitan Li. Yitan is from, Yitav, excuse me. Remember, Tov is the word for good. And this is a stated verb in the imperfect. And it's a one-year-old verb. So that's why you get the Yi. And we haven't had that yet. That's why you have to get your footnote. So that is. Well, yes, it's so that it will go well for me, and then because of you or for your sake, on account of you, ba'avure. So you're just adding a suffix to ba'avur. So, and then this first form is what we're going to get in the next lesson, in imperative, imri, just imperative form, with the subject of the second, the feminine subject of the second person.
So the
tov
is an alternate form of
Tov? Well, it's not an alternate form. It's just derived from that verb.
Okay.
I mean, the word tov is meaning good. It comes from this verb, you know, yatav. So it's a stated verb that we have. I don't know if it's even listed separately. We'll look at it. Probably it is. Yeah, well, they, I guess apparently it's not used in the perfect, in the perfect by itself. They list it in front of the table, no vowel point, yes, not yes, off, and then e top, and then go well with it. It's one that we get. So apparently the only time you can use it is in the perfect. Okay. Then, next sentence, starting with B. Back here, Steph. She said to the Egyptians according to the words which her husband said to her. It was literally, she said to the Egyptians according to the words which said to her her husband. See that isha there is, isha is ish with ah. It can be confusing, you know, with isha. But, yeah, there's the matif there, you see, and you got the irregular too, first syllable that was tipped off. Okay, any other questions? All right, Daniel, next one.
Rabbi Hu Hamitri Osa El Bet Paro Velo Haretu Et Abraham.
Okay.
The Egyptians took her to the house of Pharaoh, but they didn't slay her. Abraham.
Right, good. The Egyptians took her to the house of Pharaoh, but they did not slay by Abraham. Okay, good. Next sentence starting with Nathanil.
Nathanil, Le Abraham, Don Ufaka, Ba Samorim, Ba Abadim, U Sham Shimtako, Ba Apo.
He gave to Abraham small cattle and large cattle, and he had his servants and maidservants, and she had his and camels for the sake of Sarah.
For the sake of Sarah, because of Sarah. Okay. Next sentence then. Any questions at all? Okay, it's just a lot of screaming now. Okay.
Any more questions?
All right, starting with Naga.
Naga, Yahweh, S, R,
R, O.
R, O.
R, O.
with him toward the Negev.
I've done East Coast, it's been article and just low, low, so it is definitely low, right?
Right. Yeah, well, let's see. Yes, it's definitely because of that, right. Okay, then the last sentence backed up, starting with Abraham.
Abraham, Kaved, Me'od, Bamitner, Bakesser, Zaha.
Letter by letter.
Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold.
Okay. Very bad, you know. The context we have to decide which way this will be taken. We're assuming that Abraham was very important, or very heavy, very rich, with in the realm of cattle and silver and gold.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay. Good. And you could perhaps translate grew important, grew heavy, grew rich. All right, lesson 25, the imperative. Once we know what about the imperfect, then it's not a difficult step to go to the imperative, because mainly you just chop off the prefix and you've got the imperative. But we will have to put some suffixes on those too. And there are two sentences involved with a little shawa, so. So let's look at what happens. Imperative. The basic stem of the imperative is always closely related to that of the imperfect and can be deduced from it. So if you know the imperfect, you can deduce the imperative form. And if you look at the examples here, we've got yiktol for the imperfect and katav. The imperative is just katol. We've got yishkav and the imperative shakav. We've got yishma and the imperative shema. We've got Yivkor and the imperative Bakor. Excuse me, Yivkar and the imperative Bikar. We've got Yikra and the imperative Kara. Now, just inspecting those forms, what would you say is being done to get the imperative form from the imperfect form?
Just dropping the yod.
Yeah, drop the yod and its vowel point off, and you've got it, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes you'll have to, deal with a Bagat Kabat, make it the hard sound now because you dropped the vowel before. Right, like Bakar and then Kithol. Right. But other than that, it's just a matter of dropping off the prefix. And you still keep the Shawa Fulham pattern or Shawa Papa pattern, or in the case of Karat, the Shawa Kamak pattern, physically as well. But that's basically it. So that part is very nice. Unfortunately, it doesn't end there, because imperative is you're commanding. See, it's making command, and so these are going to be second person forms. And so you may command a man, you may command a woman, singular. You may command men, or you may command women, plural. So you're going to have four potential forms for your imperative form here. So there will be an interesting kind of a third person imperative. In Greek, we've got both second and third person imperatives. In English, we only have second person. But in Greek, they have a third person imperative too. In Hebrew, they have what we call justive and comparative, adjustive idea, where you say let such and such be, such and such. And you can almost put a mild command on a third person. Let him do this. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But as far as direct imperative is concerned, just second person.
Is imperative going to be past, present, future?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. It's more of a... You really don't command people in the past. But it's kind of a mix between present and future. Because the command is usually given in the present, but the result is future. In other words, you tell somebody to do something, they can't do it until you told them. So when you tell them, then they've got to do it. And so it's kind of a mix between that present and future idea. And of course, remember in Hebrew, that makes a whole lot of distinction here anyway. So the idea is just imposing your will on someone. And the expectancy, of course, it's certainly not a past idea, but it's an imminent idea, you might say. Okay, well, we're out of time. We'll have to look at that some more tomorrow. And no assignment for tomorrow. We're sure to take it to this person to get into that chapter. And Friday, we won't have to do anything for that. that's what it says today.
Oh, no, we're seven shirts a week. That vocab, right?
Right. Just a simple vocab phrase. Okay. I'm going to put my phrase up here, too.
One question. I don't think you have a pass. Are you going to use the proper names?
Oh, I work.
Yes, I think we will. Because we're starting to see in the
right.
That we're going to need it from there. Yeah, you will. The proper well, let's see. We got through chapter. The first time I taught, we got to chapter 35, I think. And I think we'll beat that. We get to chapter 40, that's kind of my goal. We get to chapter 40. I think those last chapters are all real, refinements. If you get most of your major grammar in by that time, and then it's just a matter of dealing with more irregular verbs and then a lot of sentence structure stuff, which is normally second year stuff.
So the second year we'll be going through this first.
Yeah, second year we'll finish the book. And in conjunction with translating. So we'll kind of, we'll finish this book and then be working. And it'll be really good because if we get that far, we find that it's kind of nice not to get into some of the detailed clause stuff until you're actually doing translating and working with it. So it doesn't just go in and go out, quick.
Well, that's the problem I have with the Greek is that this is so much easier to remember because you have to work with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to form it yourself and figure it out and see the structure.
Yeah, these exercises are better. He does have some sentence exercises in the other book, but
they're real simple and real.